All right. The next three sessions will be with the sensor-based nutrient management community, and we have a oral competition, and we have two lucky students whose advisors told them to go into this section because there's two of you. You're both going to be money winners, so you don't have to worry about that. You're going to be fighting over the difference between $250 and $150, so that's the prize. So also, the students, if you could possibly be at the beginning of the business meeting about 11:30, I need you to fill out some paperwork, and it'd be most expeditious if we could do it then, as opposed to doing the mail and the fax and the emails and things getting lost in cyberspace. So that would be terrific if you could do that. So we'll start out with Travis Goron, and his presentation will be a bacterial biosensor to measure early season nitrogen viability in corn. He's from the University of Guelph, which I'm going to be visiting in January, I think, and talking about everything. All right, so Travis. Well, the way this is going to work, and I think you've been coached already, is that you'll have 13 minutes for your talk. When you're down to about a minute, I'll stand up over here a cue, and then a couple minutes for questions, and questions are important in the competition, so make sure you have time for that. And at 15, I'll yank you off the podium. All right. Thank you.
Well, hopefully it won't come to that early on. Yes, thanks so much for the introduction. My name is Travis, and I am a PhD candidate at the University of Guelph in Canada. My thesis research and what I'll be talking to you about today is using a bacterial biosensor to measure early season nitrogen bioavailability in corn. So just a brief outline of my talk today. First, I'll talk about nitrogen side dressing and the glutamine lux biosensor. Then I'll talk about some experiments that we've been playing around with in the lab back home in Guelph, with using the glutamine lux biosensor to measure nitrogen health, and I'll finish with some conclusions. So as we all know, plants need nitrogen, and corn fields in particularly, farmers will dump a lot of nitrogen at the beginning of the season. However, in doing that method of nitrogen fertilization, there's a high potential for leaching and loss of the mineral nutrients from the soil. However, with nitrogen side dressing, nitrogen fertilization can be optimized to a certain degree. This is done by dividing the nitrogen fertilization into multiple nitrogen applications over the growing season to reduce loss. This can provide some certain economic and environmental benefits. However, to be advantageous, the side dress application, it should be guided in some way, especially with regards to rate. Now, the amino acid glutamine in corn leaves can serve as such a guide for determining the correct side dress application rate. And this is because if you're at all familiar with cereal physiology, you'll know that after nitrogen is taken up from the soil by roots, it is converted to amino acids in corn roots and then shuttled around the plant for growth. So you can see we have a situation developing where if we increase the nitrogen fertilization or nitrogen availability to the corn plant, the glutamine concentration in the leaves will increase as well. And then perhaps we can measure that concentration and relate it back to the nitrogen availability to the plant and determine if maybe a side dress is needed. Now, the way that we measure glutamine is with something we've developed called the E. coli glutamine lux biosensor. What this is, very briefly, is an E. coli cell that we've engineered to basically be oxotropic for glutamine and also glow constitutively. This was done with some genetic engineering, and I won't get into the details, but basically we have a situation where if we provide an increase in concentration of glutamine to the cells will release more light in correlation with that concentration, and we can measure it. This is done with a very simple protocol in which we sample a leaf of corn with a very small tissue disc. We grind it up, and then we feed the glutamine that was present in that tissue disc, in that extract, to the biosensor cells. They incubate, we measure the light, and we can relate that light back to the glutamine concentration. Now I'll just talk about some experiments we've been doing in using this biosensor to measure nitrogen health, one, in a greenhouse proof of concept, and two, with some field validation. So the first greenhouse experiment we did was just to show that glutamine Lux biosensor output does indeed correlate with glutamine content in corn leaves. This is done in a semi-hydroponic growth system with zero background nitrogen in a greenhouse, and there were two treatments of corn here, one which was a negative nitrogen treatment and one which is a positive nitrogen treatment. And you can see those labeled up here on the figure. So what we did is we plotted the glutamine Lux output against the glutamine concentration quantification by HPLC, which is a very commonly used powerful method. And you can see that the correlation is very high with an R value of 0.95. So this tells us that, yes, we are actually sensing glutamine and not something else, which can be a problem with biosensors. Also, we were able to detect separation between the two treatments, the negative nitrogen and the positive nitrogen treatment. So that was our first indication that, yes, this could be used to actually determine nitrogen health in the field. I also want to mention that in corn leaves, there's some spatial plant-to-plant variability in where glutamine accumulates in the tissue. You can see that in this figure here, which are three different corn leaves determining or showing where glutamine accumulates. And you can see that there are certain similarities. For example, the glutamine does seem to accumulate towards the base of the leaf. However, between plants, there are some extreme differences as well. And that's very important because the second experiment was done in the greenhouse to sort of determine where an optimal position on the corn leaf would be to take a sample for analysis that would provide a reliable result across experiments. So again, this is a semi-hydroponic growth system with zero background nitrogen. And again, it was two-week-old corn that had been starved of nitrogen for the entire 2 weeks, grown with just water. I provided six different nitrogen treatments to those plants from 0 to 20 millimoles total nitrogen, just to increase the variability of glutamine present in the tissue. And then I sampled at five different time points after that application at 12 different leaf positions around the plant, represented by these yellow circles. Again, we're trying to determine the best place to take the sample. And I also want to mention that it was a very robust study at almost 3,000 samples. Now, there's a lot of regressions up here, and it's not important for the purposes of this talk, but I just want to mention that this technique is being used in some experiments that focus more on plant physiology. The only thing that's important here is that I sampled all these leaf positions on the young, old, and intermediate growing leaf of very young corn plant, and you can see that this position here on the young leaf, when I regressed nitrogen application rate against glutamine Lux output or biosensor output, you can see there's a fairly nice regression. So this is the position, this young leaf punch position right here, at which I sampled for the future field experiments. Now, in the field validation, we had two locations. These were in collaboration with Dr. Bill Dean and Greg Stewart, both at the University of Guelph at the time. We had pre-plant nitrogen applications ranging from 13 to 218 kilograms per hectare. Location one had five different rates, and location two had four different rates. And there were four blocks at each location. I sampled young leaves of corn with the glutamine Lux biosensor at V3 to V14. If you're unfamiliar with this terminology, V3 is a very young corn plant, and V14 is getting towards the reproductive stage. Also, our collaborators, they recorded several important end-season measurements. This was so that I could correlate my glutamine Lux readings in the middle of the season to those end-season measurements, such as yield. They also recorded green seeker, green index, and SPAD measurements throughout the season, because these are very commonly used commercially available side dress recommendation methods. So I wanted to see how my method would compare to those. Right off the bat, we saw that glutamine Lux biosensor output, it does indeed correlate with grain yield at 15.5% moisture. You can see as nitrogen application rate increases, grain yield in orange and also biosensor output in green increase together. And there is some significant correlation here with a p-value of 0.002. So that was very encouraging to us. However, these biosensor data, they were sampled at the V12 growth stage, a point in the season when the plant is already fairly tall. So what I've done here is I've laid out all of the correlation values of leaf punch glutamine Lux values with end season yield parameters. The crop along the columns is getting older from V3 to V14. And along the top here, I have yield nitrogen application rate, grain N percent, stover N percent, ear and grain dry weight, stover dry weight, and harvest index. Now here are the actual p-values from those Pearson correlations. And what I've done is I've bolded the significant ones, and you can see there's a definite threshold at which the correlation between the sensor data and the metrics becomes significant between V6 and V12. However, there is important correlation here, particularly with yield. And the same sort of thing was true at location 2. Again, plants getting older along these columns here from V3 to V14. But again, there's a threshold between V12 and V6 at which almost everything becomes significant. Now here, we also had some soil nitrate data, a PSNT, pre-sidedress nitrate test, and that became significant with biosensor data at V6. So that was very promising to us. What was also encouraging was that at location 1, we had those commercial recommendation tests measuring the same plots, and they seemed to fail largely in determining the nitrogen application rate that was originally applied, as well as correlation with yield and other things. You can see here Greenseeker, as nitrogen application rate increases against the reporting index, even at silking and V12, as well as V6 and V8, there was really no response. Green index and SPAD, or chlorophyll meters, there was some responses, but it was very variable and with clear, reliable trends that were not apparent. I started processing my 2015 data with the biosensor. I don't have any yield metrics or anything like that quite yet, but I can regress the biosensor output against nitrogen application rate, and things look very promising already. You can see that V3, there's no response. However, at V6, things become very significant. V14 is also very significant. V12, the significance decreased, perhaps maybe due to experimental flaws, or maybe because we had a lot of precipitation that time of the season. I'll just say some brief conclusions and talk about future prospects. So the glutamine lux biosensor readings are indicative of crop nitrogen health in the field. I feel like we were starting to prove that very well. And there are correlations with agronomically important measurements. However, in the future, we'll be examining more time points between V6 and V12. We'll complete the 2015 analyses and correlations. Also new for 2015, we have UAB or drone data, so reflectance measurements and things like that, and we can correlate to those as well, which will be very interesting. Then I'll consolidate all of that into a sidedress decision support system. And lastly, far in the future, we'll develop all of this into a commercial mailing kit or on-farm handheld test. I'd like to thank my advisor, Dr. Manish Raizada, as well as the members of the Raizada Lab, a lot of them are here today, and my advisory committee, as well as my funding sources, which comes from various acronyms representing Canadian governmental bodies. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them, and you can email me at this email address here. Thank you. Yes. Well, right now, when we have the sample in the lab, assuming we're ready to go with that sample, we can do the whole thing in a day. 3 hours is actually, I guess, the optimistic timeline. However, you know, scaling up, obviously, to a commercial system, there would be a backlog of samples for sure, I'm assuming. But it would be very comparable to the soil nitrate tests. So I would feel it would be not outside of reason to say a week. Yeah.
Your samples that were taken at, say, V12 and V14.
Right.
What leaf was that? Was it?
Yeah, so we were focusing on the, it was an emerging leaf. So it wasn't quite fully collared. That was sort of our standardization there. Because what we saw in the greenhouse was that the younger tissue provided the best response, because that's where glutamine accumulates in plants, because it's growing. However, this year in 2015, I haven't quite gone to that yet. That sampling, or processing rather, but we also sampled the leaf opposite and below the emerging ear, just to see if we can keep things standardized that way.
Okay.
Not yet. It's still in the freezer. Yes?
So you had one graph where you showed yield and the biosensor readings as a function of nitrogen.
Right, sure.
And they both increased.
Sure.
But it looks like your biosensor is saturating above 100 kilograms per hectare, whereas your yield is still going up.
Yeah, and that is something that we're constantly tinkering with in the lab, because with the biosensor, whenever you move into a new crop, for example, I'm doing it with corn, we also work with millets, Melinda here works with legumes, you sort of have to play with the dilution of the biosensor to try and keep it linear. So that's something that I will be trying to fine-tune more in 2015.
Okay, so you think you can improve it over that range?
Yeah. Because you have to play with the ratio of media to cells and media to extract and also incubation time. Yeah.
So I have one, actually.
Sure.
I think you said that for this year's data that you don't have the yields back yet.
Well, the yields are in, but our collaborators, they're still looking at the nitrogen percentages. And,
okay, so let me give you two scenarios.
Sure.
Let's just say the yields come in, and there's even though you have a response with the sensor, there's no yield increase with nitrogen rate. And then the second one is that there is a yield increase with nitrogen rate, like your sensor. So could you comment on both those scenarios? What would you think?
Well, if there's no yield increase rate, that what we saw with the sensor, I know a problem with a lot of these predictive methods is that when even though there's a nitrogen limitation in the middle of the season, such as what I might be picking up, that limitation might not carry over to the end of the season, and there might not be a yield difference, which is, I think, what you're getting at. And that makes these predictive methods very tricky, which I'm sure we'll be talking about in the symposium later. So our plan to turn this into a DDS is to maybe incorporate that with some other measures, like soil moisture data is what we're really thinking might hold potential. So that's the best that I can answer that question. However, the second scenario, and the one that I feel is more likely, because this is a trial that's very long term, applying these nitrogen rates always over time, and there's almost always a nice regression, a nice response curve. So if that happens, that means that the limitation did carry over through the season.
Okay.